Tonight we've got the New Jerusalem. And tonight I've got a big scripture reading. I only did half of it, but then I realised I needed to have the whole lot, so it's actually one whole chapter in Revelation, but it's good stuff. Amen? So, the New Jerusalem. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And the church is preparing born-again believers for God's, for the Lord's earthly kingdom. By obeying God's word today, as taught in Bible-believing churches like Coastline, God's people are preparing for their entrance into Christ's kingdom. The church is preparing us for Christ's kingdom by teaching us to live holy lives, teaching us to serve God in strict obedience to His word, teaching us that God's commandments are not grievous, teaching us to submit to God-ordained authority, teaching us to praise God, amen, teaching us to love one another, teaching us to put God first and seek His perfect will, teaching us that God judges sin, and teaching us to be ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together, Lord, and we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that in Your word we see all this prophecy, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that You know all things. You know the beginning from the end. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to follow You and to obey You, Lord. Pray tonight, Lord, we would be uplifted by this the New Jerusalem, Lord, that we're going to learn about. I pray, Lord, that it would be encouraging for us to know, Lord, what's coming up for us as born-again believers. And Lord, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's coming for the church is imminent, and it could happen at any time. We need to wake out of our sleep and separate ourselves unto God and be ready to stand before Him. Three times in the last book of the Bible, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." You don't have to turn there, but Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. His coming is not quick from man's perspective, but it is quick by God's perspective. The reason Christ has waited so long is because He loves souls and wants to save men. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He delights more in salvation than in judgment." But the time of judgment will come, and we must be ready to leave this world at any moment. And biblical prophecy should be a great motivator for us to walk in God's perfect will. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1, and we're going to read the whole chapter. Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 through to 27. And I would have liked to read chapter 22 as well, but for the constraints of time we won't. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth who do bring their glory and honour to it, and the gates of it shall not be shut up by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it, and there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which were written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Very descriptive. The New Jerusalem. So Revelation chapters 21 and 22 describe the eternal state that will exist after the destruction of this present sin-cursed universe. And it is called the New Heaven and the New Earth. The New Heaven and the New Earth are established after the destruction of the old creation by fire, as described in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Now you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. So that's this world here. It's going to be totally and utterly, sounds like it's going to just melt. God's going to melt it. Amen? When God made the original creation, He pronounced it good. But sin entered and it was placed under God's curse. So ultimately God will destroy the original creation and make an entirely new one that is not spotted by sin. He will make all things new. The holy city, the New Jerusalem, is the dwelling place of the saints of all ages, but which is particularly associated with the bride of Christ. The city is said to be prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. This does not mean that the city itself is Christ's bride. It means that the city is the dwelling place for His bride. The bride of Christ is the church, amen, which is us, not a building. The New Jerusalem is the bride's city, but all of the saints of the ages are at home there. Israel will be there, for the names of her 12 tribes are engraved on the gates of the city's walls. It says that the New Jerusalem is a holy place. God is a holy God and He requires holiness of His people. The seraphim continually cry, "Holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." Holiness is the absence of sin. And nothing relating to sin will be in the New Jerusalem. There will be no fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, thief, deceit, backbiting, pride, boasting, inventing of evil things, disobedience, wrath, strife, sedition, drunkenness, drug abuse, rebellion, tyranny, treachery, lying, blasphemy, false witnesses, or any holy, unholy thing. Amen? And I could go on and on and on, obviously. Except a sinner be converted, he would never be happy in God's holy heaven. The New Jerusalem is a place where God will dwell with His people. The New Jerusalem is a place where no sorrow or pain exists, where the former things are passed away and all things are new. So this is a wonderful condition for which the saints of all ages have longed for since trouble entered the world through man's fall. Our sorrows and pains in this present world we may find a bit troublesome, but when we dwell in that city, these will be but vague memories if we remember them at all. There will not be the slightest tinge of sorrow or sadness. There will be no pain of any kind, no depression, no sickness, no disease, no injury, no old age, no separation from loved ones, no confusion or uncertainty, no bullying, no tyranny, no frustration, no mental torment, no longing for that which cannot be attained, no fear of tomorrow, no pain from yesterday, no failure, no shortcoming, no fear of what others will do or not do, no doubt, no persecution, no torture, no false accusations, no pain from physical exertion, no pain from heat, no pain from cold, no burns, no scrapes, no lack, no debt, no fear, no death. And again, I could go on and on and on. There will be no cripple there, or blind, or deaf, or dumb, or simple, or deformed. The promise that all things will be made new is accompanied by the solemn promise that these words are true and faithful. Nothing is more certain than the promises of God. Amen? The New Jerusalem is a place where the water of life is freely available. The fountain of water of life will flow literally in the New Jerusalem, and the saints can drink freely at their will. A fountain is a source of water. From the fountain, the water flows forth to offer its life-giving benefits. The fountain of water of life, the fountain of the water of life is God Himself. The river of life flows from the throne of God and the Lamb. The fountain of life is with Him. From Him flow all of the delightful blessings of eternity. He is the God who has given us richly all things to enjoy, and who He shall make them drink the river of thy pleasures, in whose presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And the Lamb is the one who said, I am come that they may have life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The New Jerusalem is a place where saints will inherit all things. In this present world, the saints typically own very little. The bulk of the riches of this world are owned by the unsaved. Through the ages, the Lord's people have wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They have been warned about the dangers of riches in this present life, and have been instructed that having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But in the New Jerusalem, the saints will own all things and will delight in God's unspeakable glory. The New Jerusalem is a place where no unregenerate sinners will enter. Jesus said that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Sinners have to be forgiven and converted. The overcomer is a true believer in Christ Jesus, a born-again Christian who shows the reality of salvation in his life as opposed to a nominal Christian. In a multitude of cases, the sinner does not trust Christ because his love for sin is greater than his desire to be saved. The rich young ruler went away from Christ sad because he was not willing to repent of his sins of covetousness and self-righteousness. But we know that any sin can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus if the sinner will receive him as Lord and Saviour. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And propitiation means that the full satisfaction of our sin debt was paid by Jesus on the cross when he suffered in our place. Amen. The New Jerusalem is a place of glory. And glory refers to kingly splendor and wealth. It refers to great beauty. God's presence is characterized by light and brilliant color and breathtaking beauty. The light of the New Jerusalem is like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The jasper that is used to describe the overall appearance of the city is like a diamond. It is a brilliant clear stone which reflects the light and through which the light passes. And the entire city sparkles like a massive diamond. The city's source of light is the Lamb. When John saw the resurrected Christ, he saw his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When Peter, James and John saw Christ in his majesty on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. That is the glory that will lighten the Holy Jerusalem. Since the very light of the Holy City is from the Lamb, the occupants will be reminded at every moment that He is the source of their every blessing. The light will shine into every corner and crevice, and there will be no darkness in that city. It says that the New Jerusalem will have a wall. The wall is there not to provide protection, but to mark out the boundaries of the city. And the wall is massive. It is 8,638 kilometres long, surrounding the city on all four sides, each side being 2,160 kilometres long. And the wall is 144 cubits high, which is 65 metres high. But the wall, therefore, is much shorter than the height of the city, which rises kilometers above it. But again, the wall is strong and beautiful and made of jasper. And this type of jasper is also clear as crystal. So in this world that we live in today, we may own small pieces of precious stones. I don't know if you can see my wedding ring's got 3 diamond chips in it. But yeah, you probably can't see it. I can see it, but you know, couldn't afford much. So we might own small pieces of precious stones, but in the New Jerusalem, thousands of kilometres of walls are made out of it. Amen? The city behind the wall is readily visible through the clear stone. The wall has 12 foundations, each garnished with 12 types of precious stones. Obviously, they are exceedingly beautiful and bathed in the light of the glory of God. And the city is undoubtedly far more beautiful to the eye than anything that man has ever been able to create. It reflects not only the infinite wisdom and power of God, but also His grace as extended to us, the objects of His salvation. The foundations of the wall contain the names of the 12 apostles. This proves that there are only 12 apostles for all eternity, and this disproves any doctrine of apostolic succession or the continuation of the apostolic office throughout the church age. Amen? The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets laid a solid foundation by completing the New Testament scriptures under divine inspiration. The wall has 12 gates. An angel stands at each gate. Amen? These obedient angels are apparently tasked with sentry duty, probably such as that is performed by British soldiers outside of Windsor Castle in London. The 12 gates contain the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The doctrine of replacement theology, whereby the church is said to have assimilated Israel's covenants, is shown to be heresy. Israel, in the form of her 12 tribes, continues to exist in the New Jerusalem. The church continues to exist as well as a separate entity from Israel, though intimately associated with her, as depicted by the names of the 12 apostles in the foundations of the wall. There are 3 gates on each side, east, west, north and south. That the gates face in every direction remind us that God is saving people from all corners of the earth. Each gate is made of a single pearl, which in the natural realm is a result of irritation on the inside of an oyster, which speaks of Christ's suffering for our sins. The pearly gates of the New Jerusalem also remind us of the pearl of great price, which is the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. Through the gates, the nations that are saved will bring their goods. Apparently, there will continue to be nations throughout eternity. Amen? In this present age, there are the saved of the nations, referring to the fact that there is a minority of saved people within the majority of the unsaved. But in the new earth, there are the nations of the saved, referring to the fact that in that day all will be saved. These are the redeemed Gentile nations. They are redeemed after the church is removed from the earth. They come as visitors to the city. The gates will never be shut. There will be no need to shut the gates to protect the people from enemies, for there will be none. There will be no need to shut the gates to keep the people locked up, for they will be perfectly free. Amen? So the New Jerusalem is a massive city. So going by the measurements, the city is measured as a cube. It says it's 12,000 furlongs wide, long and high. A furlong being 177 metres. That means the city is a cube of 2,160 kilometres by 2,160 kilometres by 2,160 kilometres. So to put that in perspective, it's larger than the moon. The New Jerusalem is made of gold. The city is made of pure gold, like unto clear glass. This must be an amazing type of gold. It's not known in this present world, and is obviously more lovely than anything found here, but it is described as gold nonetheless. This gold is transparent, and the light of God's glory will reflect from it and shine through it to every part of the city. The New Jerusalem has a street. It is made of pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. So the saints, you and me, will actually walk on gold. Amen? The street is described as singular. It probably apparently means that it's one street run throughout the whole city. It says the New Jerusalem has no night. Night stands for such things as darkness, sin, crime, hiding, suffering, fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, and there will be no night there. The New Jerusalem has a river. The river of the water of life flows through the city, emanating from God's throne. Perhaps flowing through each level of the city in some manner as the water flowed to every level of ancient hanging gardens of Babylon. It says that the water is pure, and in contrast to the water in this present world, which is really pure and never perfectly pure. And the water is crystal clear. Nothing is hidden. There are no dark recesses, no secrets. Everything in the city is clear and bright. Even the city itself and the wall and the street. It says also that New Jerusalem has trees. In the midst of the street and on the banks of the river stands the tree of life. This apparently refers to the tree of life not as a single tree but as a species of tree. And there are many specimens of the tree beautifying the city. Few things are more lovely than a magnificent tree, and certainly no tree as magnificent as the tree of life. The tree itself, with its glorious bark and leaves and fruit, is doubtless breathtakingly lovely, and is sitting beside a crystal clear flowing river, would be perfectly fitting, designed by the same God who made the beautiful rivers and streams of this world. Amen? So it's sounding like a lovely place, it's New Jerusalem. Amen? It is paradise regained. It is the Garden of Eden, and yet more wonderful, for there is no restriction in this eternal garden as there was in the first garden, and there is no deceiver lurking anywhere. The occupants of the New Jerusalem can freely partake in anything in its realm. It says that the tree bears 12 manner of fruit. It is thus obvious that the saints will continue to eat and drink in the New Jerusalem and throughout eternity. And it's no doubt the taste of this tree will be glorious, and there'll be 12 varieties to enjoy. Amen. Jesus ate after his resurrection and spoke of his disciples eating in the kingdom of God after their resurrection. And in Genesis chapter 18, the angels ate Abraham's food. The leaves of the tree of life are for healing of the nations. This assumes that the nations outside of the city will need healing. The healing is not sickness, but possibly of mortality itself. The Greek word for healing is a word where we get the English word therapeutic. The idea of preserving rather than restoring is indicated. By this means, it would seem that the nations will have eternal life. In Adam and Eve's case, it was to keep this from happening in their sinful state that the Lord drove them from the Garden of Eden and posted a cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life. In the New Jerusalem, the nations will partake of this marvellous tree. Amen. The New Jerusalem is a place where there is no curse. The curse came because of Adam's sin, It will be partially lifted during the millennium, with the desert blooming as the rose and the wolf lying down with the lamb, but the curse will be completely lifted in the New Jerusalem. The cause of the curse is sin, and in the New Jerusalem there will be no sin. The New Jerusalem is where the throne of God and of the Lamb is located. This is irrefutable evidence that Jesus is God. Here God and the Lamb are sitting together in one throne, which speaks of the Father and the Son of the Trinity. The New Jerusalem is a place where God's servants shall know and serve Him. For the believer, this is the focus and joy of the New Jerusalem. We shall delight in the lovely surroundings, but seeing God's face and knowing Him and serving Him, that will be the blessing from which all other blessings flow. The New Jerusalem is an eternal place. We see the new heaven and the new earth and the New Jerusalem and those living in it, knowing and serving God. And this is where the Bible prophecies end. We do know, though, that this condition is eternal and nothing will enter in to hinder or spoil it. The God who knows the beginning from the end has told us this. Never again will sin rear its ugly head. Never again will the devil be loosed to deceive man. And never again will creation be plunged into darkness.